Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's Wednesday, March 20th, and your Ben Jarofsky Show starts now. It's Wednesday, and Ben is ready to talk the primaries. That's right, Democrats, Republicans, lend me your ears. Ben's got Monroe Anderson on to talk all the news, so stick around. It's coming up next. The Ben Jarofsky Show, a presentation of the Chicago Reader. ChicagoReader.com for everything there is to know in the city of Chicago. If you want to know what to do, where to go, what to eat, what to drink, you want to stay updated on politics, that's right. Right here, we're talking politics and primaries. But if you want even more, head to ChicagoReader.com. That's where you'll find more. And if you want more Ben Jarofsky, head to ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky. That's J-O-R-A-V as in victory, S-K-Y.
Hello again, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this 20% Wednesday. And here's why. Because that's about what the turnout was yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, Monroe Anderson's with me. Two good-looking baby boomers, me and Monroe. So we've been around. And so a typical baby boomer reaction at this point would be to shame the voters. 20% is so pathetic for yesterday. But you know what, Monroe? I'm done with those shaming days. You know, I could go on a riff about how dumb Chicago voters are. But so many of my lefty listeners get mad at me when I do that.
I wonder why.
You know what's so funny? Here's the funny thing, the inconsistency. So when I show my staggering ignorance of things that millennials know, like NZs know inside and out, like a phone, you know, they know phones inside. Oh, my God, you don't know phones. They feel no, you know, restrictions whatsoever about shaming me. When I point out how clueless they are when it comes to elections, they know nothing. And voting, they barely can tell you who the president is or what have you. Then they go, don't shame me, boomer. How come it doesn't work both ways, Monroe? You know what I'm saying? Like when I had to admit that I didn't know any of the songs that the rappers did at the Super Bowl about 3 years ago. Remember that where Snoop Dogg was up? I didn't know any of the songs. Yeah. All the millennials, oh, Ben, good, you're old. It's two-way. But 20%, Monroe, 20, just let's think about that. 20% turnout. I mean, like, it just is like voting has become an old people thing. And I can kind of understand. I mean, truly understand. Like the young people are always telling me, well, none of these parties do anything for us.
Right. Exactly.
So we're not voting.
Right.
Okay. So let me put this out there.
Actually, Biden is doing some things for them. For example, the college loans forgiveness program.
Well, okay. He's not going fast enough on that one. And but here's the thing. So on the ballot yesterday in the city of Chicago was something that was going to help young people. It was the referendum Bring Chicago Home, which was a form of progressive taxation. Most young people make less money than older people. So any tax that puts more of an emphasis, makes people who are wealthier pay at a higher rate, benefits young people. And they still didn't come out for more. All you young people out there go, Ben, no one's doing anything for us. I'm not going to vote. Don't shame me. Well, there was something on the ballot that would have helped put money in your pocket. And you still didn't vote. Still a vote, Monroe. So
that was so poor. That was so poorly communicated. I understand why. Didn't vote.
Oh, my God. Can we just take a moment to say how horrible that was? And right now, the mainstream media, Monroe, is they love going after Brandon Johnson. I had Tommy Scheer on the show yesterday, and he's a mainstream media guy. And he was ripping Brandon Johnson. I'm like, why does the mainstream media hate Brandon Johnson so much? Why do they love Paul Vallis so much? I don't understand how, like, if like you go to work.
Let me explain it to you.
Okay, go ahead.
Mainstream media is so white.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. World's foremost authority on white people. Man has lived his life surrounded by white people. He knows their ways. And also, he worked at the Tribune and Channel 2. God, it's so sad. The mainstream, they're so happy right now, Monroe. They're like a crushing blow. They're trying to figure different ways to say what a crushing blow it was for Brandon Johnson. They can't wait to get him out of office, Monroe.
Well, you know, with Harold Washington, the knock was that he hadn't paid his taxes.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. And
actually had filed taxes. He was paying taxes because they was drawing money from his paycheck every 2 weeks or whatever. But that was, that was such such a crime.
Oh my God.
That he was doing that.
Yes.
They look for stuff to jack up a black or any black person in power.
That is so true. Oh my God. This is so bad. A man who wants to be mayor who was in Cook County Jail. They talked about Harold Washington like he committed some capital offense or something like that. Are you kidding? Half of you guys out there are cheating on your taxes.
Right.
Now you're all voting for Donnie Trump.
Getting paid to show people how to cheat on
Oh, I'll never forget that. That was such an eye-opener for me, Monroe. Like in 1983, the excuses white people looked not vote for Harold Washington. They come up with some doozies. He spent time in Cook County Jail. I'm like, you got drunk on a Saturday night. You probably got locked up somewhere. I didn't hear you crying about that. Oh, you laughing.
And Harold protested. He said that was political. If it hadn't been him, he never would have gotten the 30 days.
Absolutely. You know what, Trump? You got nothing on Harold Washington. The Nixon Justice Department went after Harold Washington. Big time, threw him in jail.
So, but anyway, going back to we've gone off topic. Going back to the Home Alone.
Oh, that's good. They've done better if they called it the Home Alone.
It was not explained. I'm still not quite sure if it would have hurt or benefited me. Personally, I do tend to pay attention to these things when I understand them or feel a need to understand them.
Okay, so let me to tell you this way: it's a one-shot deal, so it's a tax. Right. You only pay when you sell your home.
Right.
All right. So it's not like clueless Chicago didn't get this. Like, oh, it's a tax. They're putting it on me. It's a one-shot deal. It's like raising a sales tax. It is. It's like a sales tax. And so where you live, it would have, quote unquote, hurt you because you would have paid more when you go to sell your property because you live in the well-to-do part of town. Smart move by Monroe Anderson, by the way, invested in it before it was he was a shrewd businessman. At Monroe. If I'd only listened to him, I'd be rich back in the late 70s, early 80s. So it would, quote unquote, hurt you. Now, I know you're more benevolent than that, and if the money was going to be used to build housing for the homeless, then you would view that as an overall societal gain. So in that way, it would benefit you.
Yes.
Okay? As opposed to having people living under expressways and tents and things like that. So I think that you would have societally benefited, even if you paid more out of your pocketbook at the time of the sale. But listen, Monroe, I just did a cursory look before we came on the air, and the wards, were in your neck of the woods, big time voted against it. So big time, like the 32nd ward, Scotty Wagasback's ward. I think it's right next to you if you're not in it right now.
Yeah, I have been in it, but I'm not now.
So if you want to understand why Scott Wagensback has moved to the right, just listen to this. 65% no vote in his ward. So Scotty's no dummy. He's going to move to, he's a, I know where my voters are going, and he's going there with them.
Yeah, right. Fuck the poor people. I say, fuck the poor people.
That's yeah, man, poor people never did anything for me. Oh, God. And but I'm happy to say in my ward, Monroe, which is a pretty well, not as well to do as your ward, but it's up there. But there's so many liberals, like old fashioned liberals. They call themselves progressives now, but they're all they're what used to be known as a white liberals. You know, 54% voted yes. How about that, Monroe? So a very enlightened ward. Now here's something else I found. I want to get your thoughts on this. In the 17th ward, which is a black ward on the south side of Chicago, it was roughly 50-50 split, 49.89% of the vote yes, 50.1 no. The sixth ward was a little better, 55-45 yes. So I was on VON radio last night talking, and one of the commentators was saying that she viewed it as a pro-migrant referendum. That kind of blew my mind. I had to sit and think about it. That's where we're at right now in racial attitudes in this city, race relations in the city between Hispanics and blacks. This was viewed as a pro-migrant issue. Monroe, you got to help me with this one. How was helping the homeless a pro-migrant issue? Help me. Help me understand this. Help me understand the mindset of my fellow Chicagoans. Go ahead.
Basically, it's we need help. The mindset, okay? We need help. You don't give much help. And so if you get some more folks that need some help, that's going to be even less help for me.
So why isn't there that kind of reaction about a Bears stadium? Why is it when you give money to rich people, you don't have a rebellion in any ward, particularly a Southside black ward? But if you give, it's not even just giving help to migrants.
So there was when Daley had the scheme to bring the Olympics to the Southside, there was some resistance to that.
Some.
Yeah.
Pat Hill, may you rest in peace, leading right. the charge on the South Side. Love you, Pat Hill. Yeah. There right. were some, right.
Right.
Yeah. There were so many.
It wasn't a lot because basically with poor people, they only know basic interests. Yeah, all this la-di-da-di-da philosophical stuff is it's going to keep a roof over my head and put some food on my table.
Well, I would say I was disappointed yesterday with the results for Bring Chicago Home. But to your point, Monroe, man, the obstacles that thing faced didn't they lost organizing time to that, then it got put back on the ballot or the votes were going to be counted again. And it was on the back of the ballot. Some people I know didn't vote for it because they didn't realize it was on the back of the ballot. It was like written like a treatise. So it was impossible to understand upon first read. Right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was like, I read the thing and I'm thinking, wow, this, no one's going to know.
And,
no one and, knows
this and the powers that be in the real estate industry,
yeah,
their ad just said, they're going to raise your taxes.
Yeah, and dummy Chicago's like, okay. Oh. Oh, Chicago, you voted again. So clueless. Sorry, lefties. I know you hate it when I say that. Now, here's a great quote, Monroe. I told you about this. I alluded to this before we went on mic. Let me share this with you. So this is one of the leaders of real estate, some guy. I don't know who he is. But he's a leader of the real estate lobby that fought so hard against this thing successfully. And he said, quote, "We are grateful to everyone who spoke out against the constant real estate tax increases in our city." Okay? Wow. He then added that his group hopes to, I'm not making this up,
help, quote, develop a detailed plan that provides genuine support to the homeless while bolstering our city competitiveness and protecting all the workers who depend on it, end of quote. I do not believe that in a million years, the corporate real estate industry is getting together to put together a plan to help the homeless. If by helping the homeless, they mean move them out of the city of Chicago, that's their plan, okay? They got no plan. They don't care about the homeless, all right?
That's a plan.
You're okay, that's a plan. But, that's their plan.
But there could be another hand plan, and that's if there was a few million bucks to be made off of, say, building cheap housing for the homeless, or if there was some money involved in it on some level, then they might have a change of heart.
Yeah. No, maybe. Yeah, if they can make money, if they can figure out a way to make money on it, that's
right.
All right. So I told you I was going to put you in this spot. I'm putting you in this spot. Reading that promise to help deal with the homeless by the people who helped conquer the program that would have helped deal with the homeless sort of reminded me in some ways, and I understand it's not a complete, in some degrees, it's a very clearly a false equivalency. But the first thing that popped in my mind was O.J. Simpson's pledge after he was acquitted to do whatever he could to find out who murdered his wife. And so who do you think is more sincere? O.J. Simpson, when he said he was going to do what he can to find the murderer of his wife, or the real estate lobby that now says, having defeated a plan to help the homeless, now we're going to come up with our plan. The floor is yours, Monroe.
I think we need a locked cage match between those two to figure out
who's more insincere.
Right, exactly.
God. You got to laugh, ladies and gentlemen, to keep from crying. But I will say this. I do believe that yesterday was a triumph for Chicago, and that once again, Chicago showed they had no great like for Donald John Trump. So he was on the ballot yesterday in the city of Chicago, Monroe, and he got 78% of the vote in the Republican primary. Okay, that means 22% did not vote for him. All right, and he got 29,000 votes. Joe Biden was on the ballot. He got 227,756.
Wait, okay, you said Trump got 72%?
78% of the Republican vote in the Republican primary in the city of Chicago.
So you telling me that out of the 100 Republicans that are in Chicago, 78 of them voted for Trump?
They did a little better than that, Monroe. They did a little better than that. But yeah, your basic point, your wise guy point is correct. He got 29,000 votes in the city of Chicago. Now, I did my informal calculation of the no vote for Biden, and roughly my count says 14% no vote. And I was going to be one of those no voters until Donald Trump played that anti-Semitic card, and we'll get into that in a little bit. And I was like, you know, I'm voting for Biden right now. That did it. That was one of the most blatant anti-Semitic things I've seen in my lifetime. By a leader.
It was bad.
It was pretty bad. It was absolute. All right, let's get right to it. So we'll get into Trump's offenses right now. Anything else you want to say in passing about Chicago's election yesterday before we move on? Any theories as to why the turnout was so abysmal? 20%, 22%?
Because there's nothing happening.
Mm-hmm.
Basically. I mean, it's... But if you're poor or if you're young, I mean, all the people who we need to go out and vote, they're not interested in voting because they don't see, you know, I've got some dishes to wash. Why should I go vote? I've got the garbage to take out. Yeah, it doesn't seem that it's important to them.
Well, I got to tell you, it was across the city, so. It was pretty much, I'm looking at the numbers here, and the highest turnout was in the 19th Ward, which is on the southwest side of Chicago, the Beverly area. And that was
That's where all the cops and firemen.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
And it was a turnout of 31%.
Right.
Okay. So that's pretty dismal too, Monroe. All right. Yeah. So that's that was the highest. I'm proud to say that my ward was second. We had 30.4%. So it's pretty dismal in my ward as well, but I mean, relative to the city. You're right. There was no particular reason for people to feel like they had a passion to vote. And I mean, clearly the Bring Chicago Home ordinance didn't have any traction at all.
Right.
Folks didn't understand it. All right, let's move on. Donald Trump may have set new lows for himself on the anti-Jewish and anti-Black front. And he's convinced somehow or other that this will win him votes. He may be smarter than I am. Well, I think he is, actually. He understands. No, right. He understands the American people.
Donald Trump is smarter than a fifth grader, so...
He understands America. You gotta, you
he understands white America.
Okay, that is true. Sure. Yeah. So, all right, Monroe. Donald Trump yesterday, I knew this was coming. We all knew this was coming. So, as Monroe has been pointing out, Joe Biden continually tries to distance himself from Netanyahu and his policies in Gaza. And the more Biden does that, the more Republicans blatantly appeal to Jewish voters for their votes, saying all that matters if you're a Jewish voter in America is Israel, Israel, Israel. And when it comes to Israel, all that matters is that Netanyahu be allowed to do anything he wants. That's essentially the Republican point of view on this matter. Biden, meanwhile, is struggling with voters who demand that he take a strong stand against the slaughter in Gaza. So he has a consequence for what's going on in Israel and Gaza. There's no consequence whatsoever for Donald Trump. And yesterday or the day before, he made it clear. He just said that any Jewish voter who votes Democrat hates Israel, hates their religion, and should abandon their Democratic Party. Man, that's pretty low, Monroe, as essentially telling Jews in America, you're not even Americans, you're Israeli citizens. So vote for us because we're the second coming of Netanyahu. That essentially is how I read his appeal. Your thoughts?
I read it as an old trick that the anti-Semites did in Europe and Germany. And that works for authoritarians, in that what you do is you split the group. You know, they're good Blacks and they're bad Blacks. And because they're good Blacks, they're okay. But the bad Blacks, we got to get rid of them some kind of way. And it works, it applies the same to Jews. What you do is you split them. So that there's some good Jews and they're bad Jews. And you start focusing on the bad Jews and what you should do with those bad Jews. And then when you finish doing whatever you're going to do to the bad Jews, then you get around to the other Jews. And that applies to Blacks also, same way.
That's well put. Absolutely. And W's who fall for it, I mean, well, it's tragic, actually. I don't believe it's going to work in terms of great numbers because, you know, David Ferris's theory early on he predicted that Trump was going to do this weeks ago. Trump's only finally getting around to it. You should see the emails I get from, I think it's called the Republican Jewish Committee or something like that. There are Jewish people who are Republican and they are just vile, Monroe. It's all about how Biden hates Israel. Can you believe this?
Yeah.
Wow. And they're just blatantly going after votes that way. And so this is their strategy. This is their tactic. I don't believe it's going to work in terms of shifting Jewish votes. Your thoughts?
No, I don't think so. because Jews have been to this movie before, so they know how it ends, and it's not a happy one. Yeah. So I don't think it's going to work.
What about his blatant racist appeals to black people? There were words like blacks, the blacks like me, and his AI pictures of him with black people.
Right, right. Yeah. No, that's not going to work. There are some naive blacks and some dumb ones too. Anyway, who will fall for that? But the black leadership will not, and the messaging will be out there that this is not good for us. As will the messaging is already out there, and the messaging is also out there with Jewish leaders that are saying, wait a minute, it's one thing to say you hate Netanyahu, and another thing to say you hate Jews. And basically what is being said for the most part is we hate what Netanyahu is doing and his desperate attempt to stay out of jail and stay in power.
Man, it is pretty desperate and sick and twisted. You're absolutely correct. What he is dedicated the Israel to doing, and you're right, it's all about saving his neck,
right?
Man, it just seems so obvious. What's your thoughts about Charles Schumer? Senator Schumer gave a speech on the floor, the senator from New York, the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, and a Jewish man from Brooklyn. He had a passionate speech on the Florida Senate last week, which is when he called for a change in regime change in Israel.
Right.
Get away from Netanyahu. Your thoughts about that?
Well, my thoughts is this is good leadership. This is why I don't think it will work when you have Schumer saying that Netanyahu is the problem and we need to get rid of him. It's not. Because in fact, what's happening now is Israel is losing its sympathetic support in the world because of what they're doing. You know, you can't cry for generations about the Holocaust and how horrible that was, and then create a Holocaust on some Palestinians and think that's okay. You know, and Hamas did a horrible thing on October 7th, killing all those people, killing women and children. But the solution is not in revenge to kill women and children in Gaza among Muslims. That's not the right application.
And Christians, by the way.
Yeah, and anybody.
Yeah, anybody who's on the ground.
Right.
Those bombs aren't really distinguishing between one religion and the other.
Right.
They may have killed some hostages.
They're starving them to death. I mean, they're committing genocide, either intentionally or unintentionally. And it looks more and more like it's intentional.
Yeah. Well, I applauded Schumer for doing it. I know he's been getting a lot of criticism,
A lot
of criticism
right.
from Jewish people
and Trump
and Trump, mainly Trump.
Right.
Trump can't stand Schumer. You know, remember back in the day when, first of all, he's from New York.
Right.
So that kind of irritates Trump that Schumer doesn't support him. But you remember those days when Schumer would show up at the White House with Nancy Pelosi when Trump was the president?
Yes.
Nancy Pelosi and Trump would be dueling, and Schumer was just looking at him like, sorry, Donnie, I can't help you, you know, because Trump probably figured Schumer's going to help me because we're both from New York.
Right.
You know, and
that's why he moved to Florida, because the New Yorkers didn't have his back.
Yeah.
Well, they were using it for target practice, but his back, but.
The other issue that was on the ballot in this, in a way, was crime. Yes. I meant to ask you about that before we leave Chicago completely, although this is a national issue. Right now, it's too close to call, but the battle between Harris and Burke for state's attorney was largely viewed in part by the commercials that Burke put out as what? An attempt to buy Burke to take back the streets of Chicago.
Yeah.
The state's attorney under Kim Fox and now and Harris would be too permissive for crime.
Right.
And, so, I mean, the fact that she's ahead right now suggests that that may have worked.
Right.
Is that how you see it?
Yeah. And I saw a couple of the signs for Burke in my neighborhood. I didn't see any for Harris.
Oh, man. I mean, on the north side of Chicago, ladies and gentlemen, there are so many Burke signs. They love Burke. There's right. something they just love Burke on the north side of Chicago. It's like when you go into a bar on the north side of Chicago and there's a hockey game going. You know what I'm saying, Monroe? You never right. see a Bulls game on a bar on the north side of Chicago. He's a hockey. We love hockey. That's our sport.
Right.
And it's sort of like a Burke sign. They're sending a message on the north side of Chicago. You're absolutely correct. But it was a lot closer. I mean, you know, that was another one where, like, the mainstream media was getting ready to jump up and down and celebrate. They were so happy, you know, that Kim Fox candidate lost. Because they got some attitude about Kim Fox,
mm-hmm.
which I don't quite understand. But this one.
Oh, I do. Kim Fox was not locking up enough black men, young black men. She was actually letting some go. I mean, the Smollett's case was an example. They were pissed off because she didn't put him in jail right away.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's a shortage of black men in jail, so we need some more.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this. There was an article in Block Club, I think it was today, about some of these horrific robberies in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And on the north side, I think it was, I'm doing this from memory, Monroe, but I think it was Logan Square, Bucktown, Wicker Park, right around, not far from where you live, okay? Yeah. Not far from where you live. Areas that you wouldn't have associated with daylight robberies.
Right.
So, do you think that a state's attorney policy could turn that around?
No. No, and the police are having troubles with it because these guys are moving targets. That's they're having drive-by robberies now. That's what they're doing. They see a victim. They jump out of the car, guns pulled, say, give us your stuff, and they're done within a minute or so. So it's not, and they're riding around in a stolen car. So the police can't trace it to anybody unless they happen to do a license check and just happen catch them. And, you know, so it's a problem.
Yeah, I should bring on a PC Peter Cunningham to talk about this because I don't know what from a policing angle, I've not seen any strategies.
Right.
Proposed.
Right.
To deal with what you just mentioned. I've not seen any strategies other than to denounce Kim Fox. Like somehow or other is just connected to Kim Fox.
Right.
Like Kim Fox is not prosecuting guys like this. You know. And then when there's a horrific story like it's so upsetting about the 11-year-old kid who was murdered by the man who was let out of Stateville.
Yeah.
Coming after his ex-wife or girlfriend.
Right.
And he killed the kid. That's just.
Yeah. And the kid tried to protect his mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the saddest stories. There's so many sad stories out there today. I'm like, they're trying to figure out a way to blame it on Kim Fox. You know, like it's somehow Kim Fox's fault. I quite know you know, I don't see the connection, but in people's minds, Monroe, that's where we're at.
Well, in their minds is, where is Giuliani when we need him the most?
Giuliani. Like nothing like this ever happened in New York when Giuliani was mayor. Well, Democrats are pushing back on crime too. So generally what happens, Monroe knows this as well as I do, is Democratic politicians kind of read the room and see where the country's at, and they move to the right. And we've seen this, Monroe, yes, in our lifetime many times.
You know, and the problem is if the folks in Lincoln Park are perturbed that you got this crime going on, imagine what it must be like actually in those neighborhoods where those people live, where these crimes are going on all the time. You know, they the robbers, the criminals, come to Lincoln Park, but they come at their own risk.
Yeah.
Because if they're driving around four in a car and a cop sees them, they will be pulled over. Whereas they can ride around on the south or west sides all day long, and they're just some kids in a car.
Kids in a car, man.
All right, let's go back to Trump.
Your prediction has been consistent that Donald Trump will not be victorious in November. You say this in spite of polls. That's the contrary. You say this in spite of the fact that almost every lefty I know is openly predicting that Donald Trump will be victorious in November. I'm starting to see signs that your argument may be correct. And one sign is the undercount that Trump has. I alluded to it already with Chicago's vote, but in a state after state, he's getting roughly 80% of the vote in a in an election in which there's no opposition. There's names on a ballot, but those people have all dropped out of the race.
Right.
And so it's becoming pretty obvious that roughly 20% of Republicans are not going to vote for Donald Trump.
Right.
And, you know, that's not a piece of news you'll see like in the New York Times. I like to tease the New York Times because I point out their entire strategy to luring readers is to scare Democrats with Trump's going to win. There's nothing you can do. Be scared, be scared. So, and it works. It's a very successful strategy for getting people to click on your articles. It's not very a successful strategy if you want people to understand what's going on politically in this country. So I think you're onto something here, Monroe. I absolutely, I don't know if you saw, I sent this to you. This was a, get your thoughts about this, an ABC exit poll out of Ohio that showed nearly 20% of Republicans in Ohio say they will refuse to vote for Trump in November, with 11% outright saying they will vote for Biden. Your thoughts on that exit poll?
No, that's a fact. I mean, you have, I mean, it's not, Trump isn't a conservative. Trump is a gangster. You know, I mean, he's running, he's doing his thing like a mob boss from top to bottom. And those conservatives who are true patriots see that, and they don't want any part of it. Now, he also has a cult, though, that's not thinking about what he's doing or how he's doing it. They just, he's just dear leader to them. I mean, there, you know, there are some Republicans who are likening him to an instrument of God, that he's a godsend. And they're serious about this. They're not, you know, it's amazing.
What do you think Trump makes of that?
He thinks, got those suckers. There's one born every minute.
Do you think he has deluded himself that he actually believes that he's an instrument of God? Or do you believe there's Donald Trump?
He doesn't believe in God. How can you believe in something? How could you? Yeah, right. No, no. He doesn't.
You're right.
He thinks he's God.
Yeah. You're right. He's just looking at these guys. It reminds me when Mayor Rahm was first elected, and he got the city council and his NAC to vote 50-0 for his budget. And there was this picture in the paper of Rahm looking at the city council as one alderman after another stood up to praise him. Well, and thank the world that he was our mayor. And he had this look on his face, Monroe, as if to say, I can't believe how stupid these dudes are. They are some dumb people. I've come to Chicago. I don't even live in Chicago. Never lived there. They elected me, and now they're bowing down to me. And I'm close to
things. They thought it was stupid. I think it was more like the actress used to be in The Flying Nun.
Sally Fields. Sally Fields.
She got her. They like me. They really like me.
Monroe and I could do boomer talk with each other. See, I knew exactly when he said The Flying Nun. No one else understood that. I understood that. Oh, that's boomer talk. That was two old people. Oh, yeah, The Flying Nun. I liked The Flying Nun, actually. I liked it back in the
60s. I did back in the 60s, yeah.
That's hilarious. She was also Gidget. I'm surprised you didn't go for the Gidget.
Right. I forgot that she was Gidget.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of hers for long, but.
Oh, man, she was great in Norma Rae. What are you talking about? One of the great pro-union movies of all time.
Yeah.
Norma Rae. Union!
Right.
Anyway, so, yeah. Now, the other news we haven't get a chance to talk about is the Fonnie Willis case. That's one of my obsessions. A lot of people don't share that obsession with me, but Fonnie Willis, of course, the prosecutor in Atlanta, who is going after Trump for what his attempt to steal the election. We all saw him do it. He did it on TV. He did it. We saw and heard him trying to steal the election. And that she had an office romance with her underling. And they made such a big deal about it that the judge had a rule on whether she should be removed as the chief prosecutor. And Judge McAfee of Georgia gave what Monroe calls a King Solomon-like decision. He allowed her to stay, but he said her lover has to leave the case, Nathan Wade. So, Monroe, your thoughts on Fonnie Willis and how everybody seems outraged that there was an office romance in the prosecutor's office in Georgia. Suddenly America is just stunned that two coworkers are hooking up. They're outraged. They can't believe it. They've never seen anything like it, even though it's on every freaking TV show they watch. Help me out, Monroe. Help me understand the American mindset. Go ahead.
The way it works. Okay, now I'm going to go back to my white people's almost authority position role here.
You are the man. I turn to you in time of desperation.
Black folks have to be flawless. Yeah. Things that you can just shrug off that white people do. If a black person in power does it, then we knew it. Affirmative action. They do this stuff and get away with it. We can't get away with it. It's we don't get second chances. Black folks though, with a majority of white people. I'm not as the world's foremost of white people. I don't group all of them together.
Just most of them.
Yeah, okay. Just most of them. Right, exactly. There are exceptions to the rule. Present company included.
Thank you.
Exceptions to the rule. So, although I don't know all of your listeners, I would say that 90% just applying, 90 to 95%. Of them are exceptions as well.
Well, if they're listening to you and like you have a cult, you talk about a cult like following, you got yours. No, the chances are they turn to you for guidance as well. I got to understand white people. I'm going to go ask Monroe. Once again, your insight. Yeah, white people want black people to be everything that they're not. That the white people themselves are not.
Right.
Follow what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, and it's like some kind of serious flaw when a black person does what a white person does all the time.
you know, with rap music, more white kids were buying rap music than black kids because of population size, you know, not percentages is probably close. But with white kids, it got them, gave them a chance to be bad boys without being bad boys. Whereas this was a reality for these rappers. They were playing the role that blues singers sang, played a few generations black, and just telling the story of what's going on in their lives. And of course, talking about sex. You know what? I had a revelation a couple of days ago. The Frank Sinatra song, "The Autumn of My Years." I think that's the name of it. I'm not sure. I like that song a lot.
Okay.
And I play it a lot. And the other day I was playing it, and I went, "Holy cow!" But he's talking about getting pussy. I mean, you know, when he was 17,
yes,
and when he was 21, and when he was 35, but it always has to do with women and what they were doing to him and with him.
Wait, you talk about when I was 17? It was a very good year. Is that right, exactly. You're talking about?
Yeah, okay. A great time for small time. Then it was when he was 21. Their hair came undone.
Yeah.
And when he was 35, he rode around in limousines with them. But he wasn't talking about, I mean, he was Frank Sinatra. He had all kind of hit songs and what have you. He was a celebrity most of his life. But he wasn't talking about it was a very good year because I was in the movies. It was a very good year.
No, I know. Here we go. When I was 17, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for small town girls and soft summer nights. We'd hide from the lights on the village green when I was 17. I'm tearing up just reading this. Right. You know, you get to be a certain age, ladies and gentlemen. Right. You know, you can't help it. Right. Oh, my goodness. I'm tearing up reading this.
Right. Yeah. He was 21.
Yeah. And then he goes, when I was 35.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, it was a good year. You're right. Everything is with the girls. You're right. I never thought about it. For blue-blooded girls of independent means, we'd ride in limousines. The chauffeurs would drive when I was 35.
Right.
But now the days are short. I'm in the autumn of my years, and now I think of my life as vintage wine from fine old kegs, from the brim to the dregs. It poured sweet and clear. It was a very good year. Now he's just sitting around getting drunk.
because he can't get it up anymore.
Yeah, that was before Viagra. All right, so this song was actually written by a man named Irvin Drake, excuse me. Give him credit, Irvin Drake. I don't even know this man, Irvin Drake. Do you know about him? He was inducted in the songwriters.
No, I just love the song, but it didn't occur to me. For some reason, it just came, wait a minute, he's talking about having sex, and that's it.
Irvin Drake. We know on an old Irvin Drake's mind. He wrote that song in 1961. Now, we're on a real tangent here. Yeah. Irvin Drake wrote this song in 1961 when he was 42 years old. Okay. Yeah. And is that right? Yeah, I just did the math. Yeah, 42 years old. Pretty good insight for a 42-year-old, I just want to say. Do you follow what I mean?
You know, insight for Frank Sinatra. It wasn't for Irvin. Yeah. He just writing for Frank. He might even had a conversation with him. Frank said, yeah, well, it was like when I was 17, I was just becoming a teen star.
Yeah, I was 17.
And then when I was 21, I become a teen star, so that was good. And then when I was 35, I was in the movies too. That was good. I had women all the time, anytime I wanted, everywhere I wanted.
Everywhere. Well,
but, you know, but okay, but let me do this one real quick too, though.
Go ahead.
Just to show you the difference between white folks and black folks.
Mm-hmm.
White gangsters are glorified. You know, you got Dillinger, you got Al Capone, you got the Purple Gang. among certain whites, they have this whole icon status, basically. Mm-hmm. We got young men doing drive-bys now like Capone's people were back in the 20s, 100 years ago. And these people are voting for Burke instead of Harris. They want none of it.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I absolutely know what you're saying. It's very twisted and weird. America glorifies its white gangsters. You're absolutely the favorite movies, The Godfather, Goodfellas.
Right.
Al Capone is revered in a real twisted way. I know exactly what you're saying.
And do you know who the first gang in America was?
The first gang? No, first I do not gang. Know.
The Cowboys.
Explain that.
The Cowboys. That was the name of the gang. The Cowboys. They, you know, they were running through town, shooting up the town. You've seen it in some movies.
Yes, you're right. You're but absolutely right.
They were a gang. They became a profession, but they were a gang initially.
But in most movies, I'm reviewing it, and I watched a lot of cowboy movies when I was, as did you. Let's face it, we both watched them all.
Yeah, right.
They weren't glorified like gangsters were glorified from the 70s on. You know what I'm saying? Like Shane, right. They were the bad guys, the bullies who intimidated people.
Right.
And then there would be like a good guy who would clean them up and stand up to them. That was kind of how they
pictured it. Yeah, Gary Cooper and Hyde.
Yeah. But man, well, you're really onto something about gangsters. And it's so prevalent in Chicago, the gangster mindset.
Yeah, they have Al Capone tour here.
Yeah. Well, think about our aldermen. I mean, I always point this out. When Danny Solis got caught with the wire, they were outraged. The aldermen were like, well, he was a snitch. He was a rat. I would never rat on my guy. I'm like, God, he's talking like a gangster.
Right. You know? Exactly, yeah.
Aldermen, ladies and gentlemen. What a city. All right, we have so many things to talk about. We're running out of time.
Okay.
But I would love to get your thoughts about
the money. We got to talk about your president and he's not being as rich.
So
and word has it that you've already sent him $100 million to help him out. But you got to stay with your family and take care of them. You don't want them to be too poor.
Yeah, the millions I make from this podcast, I'm kicking the drum. So this is so wild, ladies and gentlemen. Donald Trump cannot raise the $454 million he needs to post a bond on his case in New York City's business fraud case. And if he doesn't raise the money, the judge can order him to sell off real estate. And of course, Trump's crying about it. And then, you know, every now and then I read some liberal columnists writing, you know, this is really unfair to Trump. I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? You guys are bending over backwards for this dude. So at the same time, his daughter-in-law is now running a Republican National Committee. So I presume.
And she told them job one was to get Trump reelected.
Yeah.
You know, screw those down ticket people.
Yeah. So they're going to use it. I guess they're going to use that money as much of it they can to help Trump pay his bills, his lawyer bills.
Take it to the bank.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
And dummy MAGA, man, they're just going to kick in. You know, they're just going to kick in because that's their guy.
Well, except it's the number of contributions has slowed. He's not getting much. This is another reason why he's not going to be president again. Because the fat cats aren't giving him money because he's just gotten to be so ridiculous that it's not. I mean, there are still fat cats giving him money, but I'm talking about just the numbers of them that shrank, and then those everyday. And then those everyday contributors, you know, the ones where he sends it in and says he's the left wing Antifa Black Lives Matter crowd are trying to keep him from being president again. He needs some. He won't they send in $25 or $100 or $1,000, whatever they can,
whatever
to help him stay there, to keep these people at bay. Anyway, that crowd, they've gotten so many of these emails and probably sent in so much of their vacation money that they aren't doing it as quickly or as often as they were 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I don't know at the, with Trump and with all the attention that he gets just from being Trump, if right. How much it matters that he doesn't have as much money for to run commercials as Biden does. Listen, Trump is so incapable, Monroe, of making the appeal to the middle. That
he's not interested.
Yeah, he's not interested in that. Right. He's not
interested. Right.
Yeah.
And his group, which is fanatical, but it's 40-some percent.
Yep.
And 40-some percent, it will not put him in office unless you have a couple of third party characters that draw enough of those who are pissed off at Biden because he's doing too much for them.
Yeah, we'll have to get closer to see the impact of third parties. I don't say, I always thought Baby Bobby was taking votes from Trump. I always felt Bobby Kennedy Jr. was taking Trump votes from Trump. And the fact that he's, you know, thinking of bringing on Aaron Rodgers as his running mate seals that deal. We shall see. Anyway, we've run out of time, Monroe. Thank you very much for your counsel, your wise words. As America's foremost authority on white people, I'm going to get you a T-shirt that says America's foremost authority on white people. I got to take you to this restaurant. We'll cut this deal when we're off the mic, but I just had breakfast. I'm feeling really good today. Breakfast is my favorite restaurant on the north side of Chicago, my favorite breakfast restaurant, Early Morning Delight. And I was telling my wife, I got to take Monroe here. I think he would really like it.
What's so special about it?
The eggs are so good, man. The guy is so, I feel he's brilliant. He's a great cook. And it's this little restaurant that used to be a taco restaurant that went out of business. This guy's taking it over. And I can't praise it enough. And I've taken a couple of my friends there who probably are listening to this and they know what I'm talking about. And I told my wife, I go, I got to get Monroe here. First of all, I think I owe him. Lost various bets to him over the years.
Yeah, it's only a dozen or so. Don't worry.
You know, and the other thing is the bets I've won. He never reminds me of those things. It's only the bets I've lost.
Yeah, because I'm still shocked.
What was your
bet? Oh my God.
You had a bet about Alabama, or was it Mississippi or Alabama? I think it was Mississippi you predicted would go for Biden. So I think it may
be confusing me with Sergio.
No, Sergio said Utah was going for Biden.
Yeah, right.
Sergio, may he rest in peace. All right, Monroe, thank you very much. Also want to thank producer Chris. He does an outstanding job. Hey, producer Chris, give yourself a raise. Take it out of petty cash. Peace and love, everybody.
And remember, catch up on all the previous Ben Jarofsky shows you missed at ChicagoReader.com. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BennyJShow. And don't forget to tell your friends, like, subscribe, and follow the Ben Jarofsky Show on your favorite streaming and podcasting platforms.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.